You guys doing well? Man, you guys looking good today. Jacob said you guys were a good-looking crowd, but you're even better than he described. Man. Go ahead and look at your first choice, your favorite partner, your favorite person you're sitting by, and say, man, I prayed all week I'd sit next to you. And your second choice, for whatever reason, that's between you and that person, I guess. You didn't choose them first. Say, God loves you too. Okay, nobody did it. That's cool. Oh, man. Like you said, my name's Caleb, and it's good to be here. Hopefully, he said you guys were having like 5-hour services, so we just cater in lunch. And so you guys just better sit down, get comfortable, and smile, just relax, because God's so good that your problems don't stress out God. Amen. What you're stressed about right now, whether that's school tomorrow or you're on Christmas break, whether that's school this week or going back to work, or maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a kid, maybe it's your health, maybe it's your finances, that God's not stressed about it. And and he says in Matthew 11 to come to him and he will give us rest. Amen. And so I'm going to be preaching a message today titled, God Already Did It. God Already Did It. And I believe as we look into 2019, and you're looking back on 2018, and maybe like me, you like to reflect, or maybe you don't. You're just like, turn the page, please, quickly, help. This was a bad year. I need you, Jesus, to show up in 2019. I'm about to lose my salvation over here. And I believe that we're going to leave here praising God for what he's done, for what he's doing, and for what he's yet to do. Amen. So if you have a Bible, Matthew 14 is going to be our text, Matthew 14, beginning in the 22nd verse. And this, just so you know, so we open up with God's word. This is so much different than giving a speech. This is so much different from just the art of communication. Anybody have speech class in high school? Anybody? Hated speech class in high school. I almost failed speech class. I remember this. It was sophomore year. My teacher, bless her soul, She was like, well, Caleb, you're just not very good. Oh, thanks, ma'am. That's so nice. And did you, because I like to ramble. And she's like, well, did you put that in your speech? Because we had to write our speeches out. And I was like, no, ma'am, I did not put that in my speech. Well, okay, so you fail just because of that. And so this is called preaching the word. And while there is an art form to preaching at times, basically what preaching is a fool being used by God and God using a fool to bring wisdom to people. And I just want you to know, if you leave here today and you're all pumped up and you're feeling good and you're in a spiritual high and you leave here and you're like, man, I'm just waiting for Sunday. I'm waiting for 10 o'clock. I'm waiting for whatever, small group, whatever you guys do. I'm waiting for the next thing at church. I want to encourage you that if you have God's word, you got more than enough. Amen. And that this is all you really need. Just open it. Open the Bible and read. Quit playing Fortnite. Quit Snapchatting your girlfriend. Quit talking on the phone. And open the Bible. Amen? Matthew 14, beginning in the 22nd verse. We're going to get going, and we're going to have fun. We're going to laugh. We're going to cry. We're going to shake hands. We're going to have fun. You guys ready? Yes. All right, Matthew 14, 22nd verse. It says, immediately, everybody say immediately. Immediately. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. Well, he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, there's that word again, it's sprinkled in here quite a bit. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. So we're going to look for the next few moments at this little passage. There's a lot going on here. And I believe God's already did it. And there's a word for you. I mean, I don't think we just show up to church just to show up and feel good. There's a word for every single one of us, no matter where we're at in life. That's what's amazing about the Bible. You can open up the Bible, you can read a passage, and that passage will speak to every single one of us in a different way. That's the power of the living word. And this word is alive. It's active, and it's sharper than a double-edged sword. Anybody like online shopping? Anybody online shop? Okay, tell the truth and shame the devil. If you're not raising your hand, you're lying in church. That's not good. Okay, we all shop online. And I love online shopping. And I don't know if you know this or not, but Walmart has taken this to the next level. Like, this is next level. So this is awesome. If you don't know, this is from Jesus himself. And they have something called online grocery shopping, where you go online, you pick out what you need, and you pick a time and you pick a day to go pick up your groceries, okay? So my wife and I found out about this, and we do this. This is all we do. And so what you do is you pick it out, you pick your time, you pull up to your own personal parking spot. It's like you're the president of the United States. It's awesome. It's like your one moment of fame. Oh, man, this is great. And so you pull up, you text them to let them know you're there, and out comes a worker with these boxes with a smile on their face. That's great, because you know nobody wants to be doing that. And they're smiling as they bring your groceries. You open the back of your car, and if you love Jesus, you help them. But if you don't, that's between you and God. And they put the groceries in your car. And then you just drive off. And you're like, oh, man, that was awesome. Because those of us with kids, it's just not of God to go into a grocery store for an hour, okay, and trying to pick out what you need with screaming child in the grocery line. Okay, like, no, child, we're not getting another toy. No, we're not getting candy. So you do this, right? I'm telling you to do it. If you, especially if you have kids, you'll love it, okay? But I've taken this, and I used to be into running. Now, if you can't tell that, don't laugh at me. I used to be in running about 2 years ago, and I was like, man, you ever met people that make excuses for every single thing of why they can't do things? Maybe if you don't know, maybe that is you. And I'm kind of that person sometimes. And so my wife's real big into running, and it was so bad that we ran a race together at the airport. It was not of God. And it was a race. It was like a 5K or whatever. It was way too many miles is what it was. And we were running this together. It was our first race we ever ran together. It's the last one we'll ever do. And we were running, and she finished before me, like 10 minutes before me. And I finished behind her, and I had all these guys supporting me, and my wife beat me. And she was 8 months pregnant as well. That's a true story. And so I don't run ever since. She blew that, so I just like to eat donuts. And but I was getting into running, and I was like, man, I can't run unless I have the proper equipment, the proper attire, the shoes, the watch that counts your heart rate. That way, if my heart's getting ready to explode, I know to sit down. And so I got this watch, and like, I'd walk out to the mailbox, and it's like 170. That's not good. And so on Amazon, I'm like an Amazon Prime member. I don't even know how that happened because I didn't pay for anything. So it's like God's favor rest upon my life on Amazon Prime. And so I was buying this watch, and usually I get 2 free-day shipping. And that wasn't the case with this watch. It was like God telling me, Caleb, don't go down this road. And I did it anyways. And so like a week went by, and my wife like, hey, let's go running. No, I can't. I don't have the watch. I'm perfectly healthy, but I just can't. And so this watch wasn't showing up. And I said, man, well, this is kind of strange. Like, this has been past a week. Where's this watch at? And so I go on to my email, and I type in this confirmation number, and you find out where it's at. And I'll never forget what the message said. It said the watch is in transit, meaning that the watch had been shipped from the FedEx people. And although I didn't have it yet, it was on the way. I want you to catch something here. I didn't have it yet, but it was on the way. And some of you, you've been coming to church, and if you're being honest this morning, you've been coming to church like, yo, man, I need a word from the Lord. I need a breakthrough. I need a miracle. I need restoration. I need deliverance. I need healing in my body. I need something. And you just, I don't have it. I've been coming. I've been serving. I've been tithing. I've been obedient. I've been doing all this stuff. But God just not showing up. And I want to encourage you that you may not have it yet, but your word from the Lord, your breakthrough, your miracle, it's simply in transit. It's on the way. Amen? Come on, somebody, that what you need, it's on the way. Heaven knows your address. God knows where you are. And if you don't have it yet, it just means it's on the way. So in Matthew 14, we pick back up. And there's a couple famous stories in here. The more famous one is Jesus feeding the thousands of people. Then after he feeds the thousands of people, he goes up to a mountain with his disciples, okay? So he tells his disciples to get together. They have a little team meeting. They say break, they cheer, they all do things. And Jesus goes up to the mountain, and he sends his disciples on a boat to cross over to the other side. So Jesus, he's alone in his prayer closet on a mountain praying with God by himself. And I always find that interesting that according to John 1, Jesus is the Word made flesh. Isn't it amazing that the Word made flesh still takes time to get alone with his Word? Ooh, somebody. Meaning that Jesus understood a principle that being around the things of God can never substitute being alone with God. And if you take notes in church, you might want to write that one down. Statistics show that if you take notes in church, you have a 75% better chance of getting into heaven. So I suggest you start writing, even if it's your own name. Well, what I'm writing, I don't know what I'm writing. I'm writing. No, I'm kidding. That's a joke. You can laugh at church. You can relax and have fun at church. Amen. I believe church should be fun and should be enjoyed. Amen. The presence of God is fun. It's everlasting. There's peace. There's joy. There's freedom. And so Jesus understood that. And a scary place to be is this is an atmosphere of faith, being in church. And you could come in here and you know, the band's cranking. You're feeling good. You're singing amen. You're lifting your hands, whatever. You're feeling good. But then you leave out there Monday morning, you feel no different. Like, where did that warm feeling go I was feeling yesterday? Where's that fire at that I was feeling yesterday? And the truth of the matter is that you're sensing the fire from everybody else, but you alone have never gotten alone with this fire. Let me just tell you, if the only time you open up God's Word is what we're doing right now when we're preaching, you're going to have a really tough time when you go home. If the only time you think you can actually worship is when the band is singing and the music's blasting, you're going to have a really tough time when you go home. If the only time you think you can actually pray is when someone leads you in a prayer, you're going to have a really tough time trying to make it when you go home. If Jesus Christ had to get alone with God, don't you think you're going to have to get alone with God? Amen. And so Jesus, he's on a mountain and he's praying. His disciples are in a boat, and as they're in a boat, they get caught in a storm. They get caught in a storm. Now, what's amazing to consider here is they got caught in a storm because they were following Jesus. Some people think that God's will is really safe. Really? Just ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Just ask Daniel. Do you know that you can be right in the middle of God's will and still get crucified? Just ask Jesus. So the question today is, will you leave here and follow Jesus even if he leads you into what seems to be a storm? And so the disciples, they're in a storm, right? They're in a storm. And I can imagine 12 grown dudes in a storm, kind of being a little overdramatic. This happens to me sometimes. I get a little overdramatic when I get hurt or something's not going right. Like, I don't know, a few months ago, I cut my pinky and I thought I broke it. And I told my wife, hey, I think I broke my finger. Like, I need some ice. I need a cake. I need a lot of stuff. And she's a nurse, so that's not good because she can call it out real quick. And she's like, well, let me look at it. And it was fine. It was just like bleeding. It was like a paper cut. And she's like, it's a cut. I was like, no, it's not. I'm in a lot of pain. I need you to do something for it. So I can imagine these guys, right? 12 grown dudes. They're in a storm, and they get caught in a storm because they follow Jesus. I remember it was the first time I remember I was in a storm. I remember growing up, sports was kind of my thing. And I was into sports, playing sports. That's all I wanted to do, and sports and hang out with friends. And so in middle school, I went to this party. Now, don't judge me. We all come to Jesus at different times. So if you're like, whoa, this guy's weird. He's crazy. Well, you're crazy too. You have a story too, okay? Don't judge me. And so I was at this party, and as middle school, we went to this party, this big party, this big house, and this pool and stuff. And all of a sudden, these guys I was part of decided to, hey, let's leave the house and let's go make trouble in the neighborhood. Not a good idea. And so we came across this porta potty that was just sitting like on this construction site, okay? And somebody gets the good idea. It's not me. Don't look at me like that. Somebody gets the good idea that let's tip this thing over. And there may or may not have been somebody inside. And so we started to tip this thing. And the guy inside, he's one of our friends, like, what is going on? No, stop. Right? You can imagine you're using the porta potty and all of a sudden someone's trying to tip it over. That's not a good day. And so we tip it over. We just leave him. And don't look at me like that. Quit looking at me like that. I'm feeling some. Don't look at me like that. Jesus forgives me. You need to forgive me too. And so I remember my parents found out about this and I couldn't hang out with those friends anymore. I just couldn't. And so like in high school, the guys were like, hey, yo, Caleb, you wanna hang out? You wanna just go chill? And I was like, yo, I can't, man. You ruined my childhood. I can't do anything with you anymore. And you decided to do it too. Yeah, that's beside, yeah, you ruined it. Okay, thanks. And I had protective parents, but I'm so glad I had protective parents that let me go through the small storm of today to detour me of the big storm of tomorrow. And some of you, you're in a storm right now, and you need to thank God that you're in a storm, because that small storm is keeping you from a much bigger storm, that if God gave you what you wanted right now, you'd mess it up. Oh, that's some deep preaching. And you guys are feeling, you're not smiling anymore. But if God gave you what you're praying for right now, the thing you're praying for, come on, you're praying for something. If you're not praying, pray for something right now. Just don't pray to win the lottery. It's not going to happen. Okay? You're praying for something. And if God gave you what you wanted, that prayer, you'd mess it up. You're not ready to step into what you're praying for. Did you ever realize what we pray for? Like, you ever take a time out and say, what am I praying for? I'm praying to be blessed. I'm praying to do this. I'm praying to do that. Don't pray for something if you're not ready to receive it. Ooh. Don't pray for something if you're not ready to receive it. Amen? And so I went through the storm, and I can relate to these guys. They're in a storm. And so as they're in a storm, Jesus, he's done praying. He takes a look on the water, and he sees his disciples out there freaking out. Right, they're freaking out. So he's like, I'm going to come to them. I'm actually going to help them. I'm going to rescue them. So he steps down off the mountain. The Bible says he starts walking on the water. This is crazy. He's walking on the water. It's crazy. He's walking on water. And so the disciples look. They see Jesus. They don't know it's Jesus. They see Jesus, and they think it's a ghost. Like, whoa, ghost. As if it couldn't get any worse, right? A ghost is down their story. That's a bad day. Only thing worse than being in a storm is having a ghost in your storm. That is a really bad day. Whoa, ghost, no. But isn't it amazing that the thing and the person that's coming to save them, they think is actually the thing coming to kill them? Which tells me you need to treat everybody that you come in contact with every single day how you want to be treated. Because God will use anybody, any place, anytime, anywhere to bring your blessing. And if you're saying, oh, I'm too good for them. Ooh, they don't look like me. Ooh, they don't smell like me. Ooh, they live in a different subdivision. Ooh, they go to a different school. Ooh, they do this and they do that. Ooh, they don't drive a nice car. Because of that attitude, your blessing might pass you right on by. Amen? Your blessing may be the person on the street holding a sign asking for money. You give them money and they give you a bigger blessing than you ever realized they ever could. Amen. And so they see a ghost and they start to freak out. And the Bible says, the Bible is great. There's such great stories in the Bible. Turn off the TV and read the Bible. Okay. Quit looking for Netflix shows. Quit looking for good books. Read the Bible. There's everything in there that you need. Amen. And so they read the stuff's going on here. And all of a sudden Jesus shows up. He's like, da, 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 da. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. And the guy's like, what is going on right now? This ghost is talking to us about taking courage and not being afraid. This is a weird ghost, right? And so they take a step back, and I can imagine these guys. Jesus is saying this. He's like, whoa, man, cool story, but that's not helping our situation. And Jesus said, no, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. The guys are back here. No. Cool story, man. Can you stop the boat from sinking? We're about to die. Quit with the motivational speech and help us. And Jesus said, no, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. See, there's something very spiritual here going on that we often miss. Many of us want our circumstances to change, and then we'll obey the command. Jesus says, obey the command and get ready for your circumstances to change. Amen? And I remember the first time that I was kind of scared in a moment. I was in high school, and I went to bed early that night. And I woke up, and I heard a noise hitting my window. And I looked at the window, and it looked like a hand, like the fingerprints of a hand, was hitting this window. And now it was really weird because my bedroom was upstairs. It was on the second floor. And so I was like, whoa, man, if this is not Spider-Man, this is not cool, okay? And so I woke up. It's like 11:30, and I'm like scared to death because this thing, it keeps getting louder, like they're trying to break in. It's like, oh, man, this is Michael Myers, and this is scary. That guy never dies. Like he falls off ledges, he gets shot, and he never dies. And so, ain't nobody trying to come up and kill me in my bedroom, right? And now I was in high school, and you ever been so scared that you go to scream, but nothing comes out? You're like, and nothing comes out except for pee, right? And that's what happened. And true story, guys, I'm being real. And And so that happened. And then all of a sudden, I grew the courage. Like, okay, ain't nobody coming up in here trying to kill me in my own bedroom. And so I go downstairs, I go outside, and I flip the lights on, and like, man, you really grew some courage real quick. Well, my mom may or not have been with me, okay? And so we go outside, and we're looking for Michael Myers, and we don't see Michael Myers anywhere. There's a tree in my backyard that branches come and hit my window, and it has this branch that looks like a hand, and the wind is blowing it on the window. Okay, it wasn't somebody trying to kill me. It was actually a branch. But isn't it amazing that when we start to sit in the dark long enough, we start seeing things that aren't even really there? Amen. I got news for you. Why don't you turn the light of Jesus on your situation? You'll realize he's much closer than you thought. He's on the way to do a miracle in your life. Amen. And so Jesus says, don't be afraid. Take courage. It is I. Man, this is aggressive language, isn't it? This is some good language. I find this language all throughout the book of the Bible. This is aggressive, man. It's not actually sitting back and waiting on things to happen. It's actually taking courage and going out there and fighting a fight. Some of you, you say, I'm just waiting on God to move, and God's looking at you. I'm actually waiting on you to move. And you're not getting the breakthrough you want because God's waiting you to take that first step in obedience. And we just sit our whole life, well, I'm just waiting on God to move. I'm just waiting on God to move. I'm just waiting on God to move. Would you move, guy? Would you move, daughter? Would you move, son? I'm waiting for you to step out in obedience, and then I'll give you the blessing. Amen? But until you step out in obedience, don't expect the blessing. How can we expect the blessing of God if we're not chasing God? Ooh, come on, son. I'm preaching better than your amen. Come on. And so this language is all throughout the Bible. There's a story in the Old Testament in 1 Kings of a prophet named Elijah. And Elijah, one day, it's him versus 850 false prophets of a false god named Baal. And so all of a sudden, they've been arguing this time, like, whose God's really God? You know, I believe my God is, I believe our God is, and blah, blah, blah. And so they all of a sudden, we're going to have a showdown. So they go up to Mount Carmel, and like, okay, you pray to your God, I'll pray to my God. Whichever God sends fire down from heaven, that's the God we'll serve. And so Elijah's like, okay, you guys are crazy. You guys go first. And so he lets the false prophets go first. And you got to read it. It's in the Bible. I'm not making this up. It's in the Bible. As the guys are praying to their God, God, send fire down from heaven. God, help us. God, do this. Elijah's talking trash to them. Like, you think, like, basketball and sporting event, like, created the trash talk. No, God has that too. He created everything. And so Elijah, read it. He's like, yo, hey, guys, hey, maybe you need to pray a little bit louder. Maybe your God's on vacation. Oh, right? And now what's amazing here is that Elijah's by himself. Who talks trash when they're by themselves? It's 850 guys versus one. Now, usually when we're talking trash, we have a group of people that surround us and back us up, right? That way it makes our lame joke sound a whole lot better and adds dramatic effect. Not Elijah. He's all by himself. He keeps going. He's like, nothing's happening. He's like, yo, hey, guys, why don't you pray a little bit louder? Maybe your God's taking a nap. Oh, right? What about David? David, what are you, 13 years of age, three armpit hairs and a slingshot? Right? He comes out. Bring him out, bring him out, bring him out. And so Dave, I love David, though, man. He steps up to this 10-foot giant. He looks that giant in the eye and says, giant, you come against me in the name of the God of Israel, who you have defied. This day I will cut off your head. I will feed the flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the earth. And all will know whose God is really God. Amen? David learned to talk trash because he knew who was backing him up. And when you know who's on your side, it doesn't matter what mountain you're facing. It doesn't matter your obstacles. It doesn't matter your situations, because you know my God is so much bigger than the situation. Actually, he created that situation. So, devil, get behind me in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood over Jesus, over my life, over my family, over my work, over my stress, over my depression, over everything else. And I know my God is for me. And if my God's for me, ladies and gentlemen, who can be against you? Amen. Come on, would you give him a praise this morning? Come on. Come on, somebody. I'm feeling it this morning. Don't make me jump off the stage. You don't want to do that. I will jump off that stage and shake you. Could you imagine? I guess he would never ask me back. That guy is insane. But this language is good. Some of you need to know that when the devil pushes you, you are actually allowed to push back. You can push back. Some of us, we just take knock after knock after knock from the enemy. And we're a defeated Christian. And because we've been defeated, we're now a casual Christian. Don't be a casual Christian, because casual Christians will be the first casualties. Don't stay lukewarm, guys. Don't stay one foot in the world and one foot in God. God said, I'll actually spit you out of my mouth if that's what you're going to do. Like, either pick a side. Pick a side. God says, pick a side. You either know me or you don't. But so many of us, we like right here. Ooh, I like my stuff. I like my cars. I like this. I like my house. I like my shoes. I like my hairdo. I like getting my nails done. Ooh, that's good. That's good stuff. All good stuff. But it takes our time away from the things that are important. Like, if you spend more time on you than you do God's word, that's a problem. And I said, well, I'm just too busy to come to church. You ever said that? Oh, you've said it. Come on, I've said it too. I'm just too busy. I'm not feeling good. I'm just not feeling good. Oh, man, I had a long week, and, man, just nothing's going right. I'll go to church next week. Forget it. Forget it. I'm just not doing it. And, guys, that's when we need to be in church the most. And if you're too busy for God, well, ladies and gentlemen, you're just too busy. Amen? And so you're allowed to push back. And that's why you've got to know this word. Because I want you to know that when the devil pushes you, you are actually allowed to cut the devil. You can cut the devil. I remember in high school, I went to Castle. And this was years ago. I'm getting old. 24, I'm getting old. And in my school, like, I don't know, it was a weird phase. Like, we went through, like, everybody wanted to fight. Like, that's all people wanted to do was to fight. Like, it was cool. It was not cool. It was awful. And in high school, I remember everybody was getting in fights. And, like, I'm not much of a fighter. In fact, you could probably beat me up just by looking at me because I don't like conflict. And so I remember these guys and watching. I never got in a fight. I watched these guys, and I thought it was hilarious. Like, see some of these guys. And I realized real quickly it was never about how good somebody can fight. It was how much you can intimidate the other person. And so somebody would walk and they bump shoulders. They start talking stuff. Oh, did you just bump me? Oh, it's on. It's on my Donkey Kong. You about? And they start, you know, high schoolers, they're hilarious. You know, oh, we'll start doing this. Oh, I'm not gonna, what are you gonna do? I'm gonna cut you. Okay, cool story, bro. Who says that in a fight? I'm gonna cut you. Like, that's pretty weak. But the next time the devil pushes you, you need to say, you don't know me, devil. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. Hey, devil, I'll cut you. You do know that you can cut the devil. Like, what? What are you talking about? You do know that you can cut the devil. Hebrews 4:12 says, this word is sharper than a double-edged sword. And so when you throw the word in the devil's face, you cut the devil. That's why, guys, you've got to know that Psalm 119:11 says, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. So the next time he looks at you and says, your past is too big to be used by God. Oh, that's easy. Romans 8:1, for there is no condemnation in those in Christ Jesus. You cut the devil. Next time he looks at you, he says, you're never going to be free from that sin. Oh, that's easy. John 8:36, for whom the Son sets free is free indeed. When he looks at you, he says, how do you really know that you're saved? That's easy. John 1:12, yet to all who received him and believed in his name, he gave them the right to be called children of God. You cut the devil. When he looks at you, he says, that door just shut. How are you going to open it? Oh, that's easy. Revelation 3:8. For God has set before me an open door that no man can shut. Come on, somebody. When he looks at you and says, you can't do that. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who give me strength. When he looks at you, he gives you a spirit of fear. He gives you a spirit of depression. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. When he looks at you, he starts to mess with your family. He starts to take your family out. You just quote the psalmist in Psalm 91:7. 1,000 may fall at my left, 10,000 at my right, but no harm's coming near me. Devil, you mess with the wrong person, I'll cut you every single time. Amen. Come on, somebody. Come on. Some of you need to wake up this morning. There's a coffee bar right there. You have no excuse. Just go dump it on your head. Could you imagine somebody just dumping it on my head? I'll wake you up real quick. You got to know this. Take courage. It is I. Don't you be afraid. I'm obeying before I get my outcome. Amen. But that's not how we work. That's not how our culture does us work. Get your outcome, then obey. That doesn't work. That doesn't work at all. Because once you get your outcome, you'll obey for a little bit, and then you'll want a different outcome, and you'll stop obeying. God says, I need to know that you can be faithful here. I need to know you can be faithful with the small before I lead you to the many. Amen? And some of us are wanting to go here, but we're not faithful right here. So how in the world do you expect to be right there if you can't entrust what God's given you right now? Oh, that's some deep stuff. And some of you, you're catching this. Some of this is going way over your head. But I'm telling you, you're going to catch this, that I got to start being faithful with what God's given me. For a church, okay, I got to be faithful with the people that he's sending right now. Sure, we'd like a lot more. Sure, we'd like a lot more budget. Sure, we'd like a lot more stuff. But if I can't be faithful with the people God's sending me right now, I'll never get over there. Oh, I need to start being a spouse that actually loves my spouse right here. That way we can have the marriage we want down there. Oh, I actually need to start raising my children in church and not let the world tell them what they should value and what they should believe. That way, when they get older, they will not depart, because the Bible says that train up a child in the way they should go, and when they get older, they will not depart. Sure, they might go to a few parties. Sure, they might go do a few different things. But when they get older, that word that I have hidden in their heart will now come alive and say, you know what? That stuff is not fulfilling. That stuff is of the world, and all an empty world can give is empty dreams. I've tried that, but the things of Jesus is what I'm longing for and what my soul really needs. Amen. Start being faithful where you're planted. That way you can bloom where God wants to take you. Oh, come on, somebody. Sweating up here. So Jesus, he's looking, and all of a sudden the storm is still going. And Peter, the disciple, most of us can kind of agree with a lot. He was a hothead. He was a guy. He was a mess, but he loved Jesus. Is that any of you? Your football team loses. Oh, come on. The Colts lose tonight. Oh, God, where are we at? Right? I mean, you guys don't like, some of you like football. The other, yeah, that's cool. You need to be in church. Don't worry about Sunday football. And so Peter looks at it and he says, whoa, if that's really Jesus, I'm probably much better off with him than I am this boat. And so Peter looks at Jesus and says, Jesus, if that's really you, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus simply replies, come. One word, come. I love this right here because this pretty much sums up the entire Bible. One word. You want to know what the message of Jesus is? Come. So many of you, I can feel that you guys, you're on the edge of wanting to come and give your life to Jesus. You're so wanting to start this faith journey. You're still wanting to join a church. You're still wanting to do all the things that you feel God's calling you to do. But you're like, I got to get that area right, then I'll come. I got to quit drinking on the weekends, then I'll come. I got to quit looking at stuff on the internet, then I'll come. I got to quit sleeping with my girlfriend, then I'll come. I got to quit with this depressing and suicidal thoughts, then I'll come. I got to quit cussing, then I'll come. I got to quit cutting myself. No, it doesn't work like that, guys. Jesus says, come, and I will do the cleansing of you. Amen. See, religion says you have to believe before you belong. Not our God. He says you belong way before you believe. That's why I sent Jesus, my one and only son, to die for you, yet while you were still sinners. Oh, come on, somebody. That Jesus loves you so much, he died for you in your worst area. He died for you in your worst spot. Maybe you're in your worst spot right now. You're just making decisions that no man or daughter of God should be making. And the thing is, I could tell you right now what those are, but I don't have to. Because the Holy Spirit's convicting you right now. Well, you need to do it like this. You need to get back over there. You need to go back and find your first love. You need to start praying again. You need to come down to the altar. You need to start praying. You need to start reading. You need to start listening to worship music and not DJ Khaled. You need to start doing all these different things. Nobody got that joke. Okay. Flew right over your head. Just died right at the altar. Okay, let's keep moving. But that's what I love about God, that he doesn't condemn you. No. He convicts you. And I'm a big believer, and a lot of churches don't preach conviction. I'm a big believer in conviction. Why? Because none of us are like Jesus. I don't care if you're 75 years old. I don't care if you're 7 years old. You'll never be like Jesus. Jesus was perfect. You might say, well, I've been to church my whole life. I've been baptized. I've been doing it all. I've been the most faithful, faithful member of New Hope Church. I've been here forever. I've been cleaning up chairs, cleaning up messes, cleaning up diapers. I must be like Jesus. Okay, you must be like Jesus in a little bit, but you're not fully Jesus. And there are all in our own lives, guys, in all of our lives, there's areas to where we're not like God. And that's why I believe that every time we're in the presence of God, we should feel convicted to be more like him. And so don't go to a church that just fluffs your ears, because that's not what the world needs. This world is dying out there. And it needs a remnant to rise up and actually go out there and be the church. And not hate on people. Love them where they're at and hate the sin. we have a hard time of distinguishing the two. I don't like that. So I'm going to speak against that. And the problem with out here, guys, is that the people out here know way more of what the church is against than what we're actually for. That's scary. That if you go out there and ask somebody, just a random person, hey, would you come to church? No, you guys are too judgmental. The walls would cave in. People would look, I smell like alcohol. I just got out of the bar. No, come. But so many of us fix that, and then you come. Go repent, you sinner, and then come. Oh, that's funny. Oh, really, you're telling me to do that? Don't you have sin in your own life? Ooh, it's quiet in here. Oh, man. That Christ died for all of us, guys. He died for every single one of us. God already did it. He paid the penalty. He paid the price that we can never work to. Ephesians 2:8 outlines that, for it's by God's grace that no man can boast. And people say, well, you know, I'm just better than them. And I don't know. If they came to church, I'd probably leave the church. It sounds funny, guys, but that's how we think. Like, if you start letting those people in, well, I'm just out. Really? Because they need just as much blood to cover their sin as you do. Amen? And so Peter, he takes this giant leap of faith, and he starts walking on the water. You know why he's walking on the water? Because he's looking straight at Jesus. And when you're looking straight at Jesus, you can do the impossible. The impossible now becomes the possible. And I can shut the mouths of lions when I'm looking to Jesus. I can go in the fiery furnace and I'll come smelling out better than I went in when I'm looking at Jesus. I can walk on water when I'm looking at Jesus. I can raise the dead when I'm looking at Jesus. I can heal the sick when I'm looking at Jesus. We can deliver come on somebody, that I can do all things through Jesus who gives me strength when I'm looking at Jesus. You know what the church is called to do? It's called to set the captives free. It's his only purpose we're here. Called to set the captives free and go make disciples. Only reason we meet is not to look at the lights, it's not to have a funny message, and not to do any of this. It's to set people free of their bondage, of their chains, and go make disciples so they do the same thing for the people in their world. And could you imagine if all of us started actually going out there, telling people and preaching Jesus, not out of judgment and condemnation, but a Jesus that loves people right where they're at, not where they ought to be, because he loves you right where you're at, not where you ought to be. I haven't arrived. I'll never arrive till I go to Jesus. But Jesus loves me right where I'm at and says, I got a purpose for you. I got a plan for you. I love you. I choose you. I want you. And we would start preaching that to other, guys, we would see revival in the city of Newburgh. We would see revival in the city of Evansville. We would see a fresh fire fall on the state of Indiana. Isn't that what we want? If that's not what we want, why are we doing what we're doing? Why do we meet here on a Sunday morning at 10 o'clock? Why do we get dressed up? Why do we come in here? Why do we wake up early and get the kids up and they're crying and you're cussing before you even come to church, and then you walk in the church doors? I'm fine. Don't look at me like that. How you doing? I'm good. No, I'm not. I just lost my salvation back there. That's fine. Okay, we're here not to play games, to go set people free. Amen? Come on. How much time we got? Oh, I got to close. And so he takes his look. He's looking, and then all of a sudden, what's he do? He sinks. He starts to sink. Why? Because he takes his eyes off Jesus, and he starts looking at him circumstances. And some of you, you've taken your eyes off your Savior, and you're now looking at your circumstances. You're looking at the bills. You're looking at this. You're looking at that, and you're starting to sink. And Jesus comes to Peter immediately. I want you to catch this. He didn't stay back. Well, should I or should I not? I'm the king of the world, and it really doesn't matter what this guy does right now. No, he immediately comes to him. He says, I'm not going to let him figure it out. I'm not going to let him drown. I'm not going to let him be a commercial on Shark Week. I'm going to come to him. And so he immediately comes to him, and I can hear him say, Peter, the water is liquid. My word is solid. Come. Listen, in the kingdom of God, hearing is so much more important than seeing. Hear me. Because when you walk out of here, what you see might be wind and it might be waves. It might be a storm. But you close your eyes and you open your ears, because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. What is faith? Faith is being sure of what we hope for and evident of what we cannot see. What is faith? Faith is the absence of sense. When you stop listening, you start drowning. Amen. And so Jesus, he picks him up, he puts him in the boat, and all the guys, the storm just dies down. And all of the guys like freak out, like, whoa, man, Jesus, you really are the Lord. You really are the Messiah. And I wonder how much better the story would have been when they saw the ghost, but they realized it was Jesus, and they bowed down and worshiped him then. But that's not what we want to do. We need Jesus to show up, and then we worship him. But he's asking, when will the generation rise up and realize, I've already done it? I've already died. I've already paid the penalty so you wouldn't have to. Get up, move on, and let's keep going. Get up. Strength is not measured in how many times you fall. It's how many times you get back up. The Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets back up. So you keep getting back up. You keep getting back up. And he says, Peter, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? I love this right here. I want you to catch this. I'm about done. Don't look at me like that. I'm about done. He says, why did you doubt, you of little faith? And people, you know, we need to have big faith. We need to have huge faith. We need to have life-moving faith. That's good. That's fine. That's awesome. Sure, none of us are ever going to get there. Well, what are you talking about? Well, I get really encouraged here because I've never met anybody in my life who can walk on water. And according to Jesus, you can walk on water with little faith. Peter was a man of little faith and he walked on water. Why? Because his eyes, his priority, his perspective was faced and focused on the name of Jesus. So it doesn't really matter the size of our faith because God is so much bigger than the object that's standing in front of us. Amen? And so we just got to say, God, give me small faith. Give me a little faith. Faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. And just so you know, this story is not about Jesus walking on the water. I want you to understand that. People always say, well, my Savior walked on water. What can yours do? This is not. Jesus can do whatever he wants to, guys. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He can do whatever he wants to. He can bounce on the clouds, okay? He could jump off rainbows. Like, he could do the moon, like, he could literally do the literal moonwalk, all right? This is a story that our God wanted us to know, that when you're caught in a storm and you're drowning and there is no rescue plan in sight, there is no one coming to help you, this is a story that our God wanted us to know, that there's no mountain too high, there's no valley too low. Well, if he's got to come to you on the ocean and late in the midnight hours, well, baby, you better know he's on the way. This is our gospel. Amen? And I'm going to close with this story, then I promise I'm done. If you amen to that, God judges you. Don't you do that. There's a story I heard a few years ago, and I don't know if it's a true story or not, but it sure does make this sermon a whole lot better. And I think it's going to relate to your life. There's a story of an old lady who's a widow, and she's like 85 years old. And she lives by herself and has no money, and all of her groceries in her pantry are gone. And so every day she gets on her knees, she gets on her floor and prays, God, I just pray that you would fill our pantry with what we need, Lord, not what I want, Lord, but what we need to survive. And as she's praying, one day she hears a knock at the front door. And so she goes to open it, doesn't see anybody standing there, but on her doorstep are all the groceries she had been praying for, but nobody in sight. And so she just took a step back and started to say, God did it. God did it. God did it. In the middle of her praising God, all of a sudden a man jumps out from the bushes and says, aha, I've caught you. I'm your next door neighbor, and I've been listening to you pray day in, day out to a God who does not exist. You see, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. So you're doing something that doesn't even matter. So today, I went to the store, got all the groceries, put them in my car, drove here, knocked on the door, put them on your doorstep, hid in the bushes, all to watch you give praise to a God who doesn't exist. And she just stood back and said, God did it. God did it. God did it. He says, no. Let me turn up your hearing aids, lady. Here's what's going to happen. I'm your next-door neighbor. I've been listening to you praying day in, day out to a God who doesn't deserve. So today, I doesn't live. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. So today, I went to Walmart, picked out all the groceries, drove here, put them on your doorstep, hid in the bushes, all to watch you give praise to a God who doesn't exist. God did not do this. I did it. Do you understand? And she just smiled. God did it. God did it. God did it. He starts to get frustrated. He says, no, stop. Shut up. It's not what I, no. One more time. I'm going to tell you one more time. I'm your next door neighbor. I've been listening to you pray day in, day out to a God who doesn't exist. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. So today I went to Walmart, listened to all. I remember it all. I wrote down all the groceries you've been asking for, got them all, checked out, paid with them with my own money, drove here with my own gas that I work for, knocked on your door, put them on your doorstep, hid in the bushes, all to watch you give praise to a God who doesn't exist. This time she took a step back and just paused for a moment. And then she smiled kind of awkwardly at him. And she said, "Yeah, God did it. God did it. And he made the devil pay for it." Amen. That the thing that the enemy is wanting to destroy you, he's trying to take you out, God will shift that. He will turn that around to be your biggest blessing. Amen. And come on, somebody. God already did it. As you look into 2019, look back on 2018, say, "God already took care of it. I don't care if you made mistakes. I don't care if you did that. I don't care if you did that. By the blood, Jesus washed that away." In 2019, God has already set before you an open door that no man can shut. The path is there. You just got to be obedient and realize that God already did it. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. Lord, we thank you for your gospel, which is simply one word. It's come. And Lord, I pray for the person that's out here right now that's feeling kind of weird. Lord, I've been there. I was like, "Oh my gosh, he spoke right to my heart. How do you know? I don't even know this guy." Lord, that's your Holy Spirit convicted him, saying, "Would you just come? Would you just come?" Lord, for the person and the Christian, the follower of Jesus that's maybe fallen off, and they used to be on fire, but now they're just kind of going through the motions. That 2019, they get back on there, and they go after you with a heart that is hungry for you. Lord, to see more of you, to see signs, miracles, and wonders by the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for New Hope Church that you continue to pour out your blessing on them, that you'd send them the right leader that take them to the next step of where you want them to go. God, you've already got that leader picked out. You've already had it. Since the beginning of time, you know who's going to take this church and move it to the next level. I pray for the people that they be patient, that they pray for the right person that you want, Lord, not what they want, but what you want. And Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do today and what you're going to do in the future. I thank you for every single person that's here. I pray that you bless them and keep them safe, help them to be the salt and the light of the world this week, wherever they do life at. In Jesus' precious name, amen.